See that you guys chazered yesterday, Shir. Excellent. Not everyone did. Maybe people did it. They didn't tell me. You don't have to tell me if you're chazering, but I certainly had some questions. If you had questions to me, so that's great seeing people doing chazara. So let's move ahead on the same topic about the Isser of blowing shofar on Shabbos. Yesterday we discussed that phantom gzera that existed in addition to the Shemi Avirenu, whether that other gzera was a Melacham Medirbanan, whether it was a gzera of some sort. So we discussed that yesterday. Now today, we're going to discuss the heter of Ein, but the heter of blowing the shofar in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos. So the Mishnah again tells us, we saw this yesterday, that Yom Tov Shel Rosh Hashanah Shechal Yos B'Shabbos B'Mikdash Hayutoken. So there's a heter to blow the shofar in the Beis HaMikdash, even though Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. Why is this? What's the basis for this? So firstly, what is the definition of the Beis HaMikdash? Of course, if anyone reading this Mishnah, they would tell us, any child, any adult would tell me, it means the Beis HaMikdash. Why would you think otherwise? Rashi, of course, felt the need to tell us that Lo B'Medina says Lo B'Yushalayim Lo B'Gvulim. He needs to remind us that Yushalayim is part of the Medina. It's not part of the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash, only the Beis HaMikdash proper, may you blow the shofar, not anywhere else. What's the reason, according to Rashi? What's the svar for this? No one told what Rashi says. Why are you allowed to blow the shofar in the Beis HaMikdash? Ein Shrutz B'Mikdash. It's a Gemara, it's a phrase that appears, who knows which Masech that appears in the most? Anybody doing Daf Yomi here? Only Daf Yomi users would know this. What? So who's that Pesachim? So it does appear in Pesachim two or three times, but where does it appear most? No? Erevin. So Erevin, it's this last parak of Erevin, talks about Ein Shrutz B'Mikdash, the various Mishnayos there, but it does come up in Pesachim as well. Ein Shrutz B'Mikdash, there are no Shvusim, which is not an accurate statement, but many of the Shvusim that are related to the Beis HaMikdash and Karban do not apply on Shabbos in the Beis HaMikdash. That's the din. So now let's focus on Shita's Rashi before if we get to the Shita of the Rambam and then the Lech HaMishnah's question. So let's understand this Ein Shvus B'Mikdash, this whole idea of Rashi. So the Tiri Evin, you had a chance to see the Tiri Evin, anyone? So Tiri Evin had some very important questions here. So Evan says, Kashali, I don't understand this. I'm going to just pull out a few different lines from the Tori Evan. Who wrote the Tori Evan, by the way? Okay, excellent. So he asks the question. He says, Aha, akarachach shvus she'eino tali b'mikdash v'kdashav gazu b'mikdash nami. Any shvus that does not relate to the Beis HaMikdash, to the kadshim, to the karbanos, you can't just override. It doesn't, not like it's a free fall there, that you can do whatever you want if it's a gzera on the Beis HaMikdash, only if it relates to a karban or to the kohen or to big day kuna, does it, we say, we do away with the shvus. We don't just say it's a hetivol shvus in there. He said, about karachach, he goes on to prove, the ein shvus b'mikdash means a hainu b'davar hatoli b'chavad ha-mikdash. If it relates not necessarily to the actual avoda, but even if he expands it, it shows some honor or respect that relates to the Beis HaMikdash. That's the klal ein shvus b'mikdash. That which does not relate to the Beis HaMikdash, that which does not relate to the Kadshim, even though it might take place in the Beis HaMikdash proper, like the Lulav and the Arava on the rest of the days of the Beis HaMikdash, or the rest of the days of Sukkot, they only have the Midiraisa, there's only a mitzvah Lulav on day one in Begvulin. In the Beis HaMikdash, there's a mitzvah Lulav all 7 days. So days two till day seven, we only had the mitzvah of lulav in the Beis HaMikdash. So does that mean you could override a shvus if it relates to lulav, if it relates to the mitzvah Rava, which was kind of like the Hoshanas in the Beis HaMikdash? No. That has nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash itself or the Karbanos. So Kol Shekein says it to Revan, Tekiya Shofar, She'ein mitzvaso miyuchad l'mikdash davka she'ein adocha Shabbos. What does Shofar have to do with the Beis HaMikdash? You have a blow it in the Beis HaMikdash. There's a blow it in our Beis Knesses. So why would we say a shvus related to the shofar does not apply? Ein shvus b'mikdash is only by that which is in the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore he says it's impossible, very strong language. It's impossible to say like Rashi. It's impossible to say that. So he goes on to the Shita of the Rambam, which we'll get to in a few moments. So what do you have to say about this, Kasha? Any answers to the Tiri Evin's Kasha and Rashi? Rashi says Ein Shvus B'Mikdash applies to the shofar. and therefore you can blow the shofar on Shabbos. Tzvi Yevon says, any truth of Mikdash only applies to that which is related to the base of Mikdash and the Karbanos. So how is Rashi going to defend himself? Any thoughts? I think it was Yaron who was making some suggestion. Was it you? No, it was Akiva, actually. Akiva was saying, making some suggestion during Seder. You alluded to something, not sure exactly what you were saying, maybe. But remember what you had said? I suggested, I put you on the spot, why not?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't so, so much, but, I was saying, like, if it, the same way, we don't have any, we're not closing on any carbonos today. Basically, I think it was kind of more with Rashi, but, like, same way we won't be closing with any carbonos going on, basically, in Dutch. Because we have a deraisin to be doing those carbonos on Shabbos and basically English. So too, we would have that to any other thing that we have on Mitzvah Deraisa to be doing in the Beis Hamikdash at that time.
Right, so you didn't say the Mitzvah Deraisa. You had said something else, which was interesting, which I'm not sure if you realized what you had said. Any thoughts how to explain, how to defend Rashi from the question of Tzvi Yevon?
Yes. We saw yesterday, I don't remember exactly where, but it said that the shofar was like ki'ilu bifnim, like it was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So you could say maybe since it's on such like a high level that it's as if like it's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, like it's kind of connected like a carbon kind of thing.
Beautiful.
Maybe then.
Excellent. Anybody that you saw said that?
It said it in the, that answer?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. So let's take a look. He's saying excellent. We're going to look at the Mar Yisada, we're looking at the Gemara you referred to, we're going to look at the Ritva, and put this together to, in essence, explain that a Tekiah Shofar is a type of carbon. And therefore it is Shayach to the Beis HaMikdash. So take a look first at the Merum Yisada. He quoted only part of the whole entire piece here. If you look at the Merum Yisada, who wrote the Merum Yisada, guys? That's it, right? I know everyone's like a big fan of Merum Yisada. So this is Chidushim al Shas. So the Netziv writes, if you look at the bottom left of the Merum Yisada, he says that Ela Amarava Midiraisa Mishri Shari Gzeri Shemayat Leni Biyada Biyel Chetel Abaki Lamot Fine. Perish Rashi, b'mikdash lo gazer, de'ein iser shvus derabanan b'mikdash, rotze lomar, v'shofar kevan delizikaronu, like Yosef just said, have kimo hakrava. It's like a carbon, which is what Kivu said during Seder, we realize you said it, but you compared shofar to a carbon, it's like a hakrava, the type of carbon. And he goes on to refer to a Rashi and Tosos on Daf Chavav, which was cut off. So let's take a look together. You have to be holding a couple of, but not heavy, but just, let's go to the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Chavav to prove this point that Shitas Rashi is L'shitaso. This is the Netziv's Raya. The Rashi holds, it's a kikarbon, and that's why you can invoke the phrase Ein Shvus B'mikdash. So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Chavav, as you kind of find your bearings in the place, I'll say outside, you probably know most of the Gemara here, but we know you don't blow the shofar that comes from a para on Rosh Hashanah. Many reasons are brought down. What's perhaps the most famous reason why the Gemara says you don't blow the shofar of a para, Rosh Hashanah, Eng Teger, Nasis Neger, right? You can't have that which reminds Hashem of the Egel's of and the Avera to defend us and to bring a kapara. So to take the shofar of the para would be entirely inappropriate, would not be effective. Eng Teger, Nasis Neger. So the Gemara asks, if you're following inside, you could follow outside, inside if you want, around halfway down the page. The Gemara says, Lefi Shein Keteger, Nasa Senegar. Velo, really? Veha ikadam par. We have the dam par. Those who are learning Yuma, we know we shech the sa'ir Lashem. We shech the par. We bring the blood inside the Kodesh Kedashim, the dam of the par. So does that not remind the Shem of the Cheda Ego? Gemara says, hol v'ishni ishni. No, it doesn't look like a cow. It's blood. It doesn't appear like a cow, so it doesn't remind the Shem of the Ego Azov. The shofar, the horn, is reminiscent of a cow. But the dam of par is not so recognizable. So, v'ha'ika aron v'kaparos, the kruv. But what about the aron itself? The kaparos, the cover of the aron, the kruvim, which are all made of gold, in the Kodesh Kedashim themselves. Ein keteger nasis neger, the ega hazahav inside the Kodesh Kedashim. How is that allowed? Gemara says, no. Chote bal yakriv kamrinam. The chote, the kohen gadol, the gavra, he cannot bring something to achieve as a kapara. The kalim are stationary. The kelim are there. But the Kohen Gadol, the Gavra, the Chote, he cannot do something, he cannot do an avoda with a something that reminds Hashem of the Egal Zav. So Gemara says, okay, fine. So those are stationary. Those are kelim. Those are the furniture. That's not the gavra himself. But ha'ika kafu machta. The Kohen Gadol comes with a pan, a spoon. He's got a spoon of k'taras. He's a pan of coals. They're made of gold. So he himself is holding these kelim, these vessels. So how is that allowed? Isn't that ain't kateger nasa sneger on Yom Kippur in the Kodesh Kedashim? And the Gemara says, chote bal yisnoe kamrinan. We say that he cannot adorn himself in the big day Zav. He has to wear big day Lavan. But to use these vessels, he's not adorning himself. He's not dressing up in Zav, so that doesn't apply. So the Gemara says, what about the big day Zav that he wore b'chutz? That's only b'chutz. It's bifnim that we're concerned with. So inside the Kodesh Kedashim, he can't wear big day Zav. Only big day Lavan. When he's outside and he does the avoda, different avodas, he's allowed to wear the big day Zav. The big day Zav is only a problem when you're inside the Kodesh Kedashim. So now the Gemara asks the big question, with the shofar. We're trying, remember, the whole sugi here is about the shofar. Why you can't use a shofar of a par? Because it reminds Hashem of the par of the cheda eagle. Ein kateger nasis neger. Where do you blow the shofar? Not blowing the shofar in the Kodesh Kedashim. It's outside. Even if it's in the base of Migdash, it's not in the Kodesh Kedashim, it's in the Azara. So why is that inappropriate? And the Gemara answers what Yosef said, Kevan dilizi karonhu kibifnim dami. Since it reminds Hashem of Klal Yisrael, reminds Hashem that we want to do tshuva, it goes through the Kodesh Kedashim, it's ki'ilu it's in the Kodesh Kedashim, it's ki'ilu it's kilifnim dami. Okay, very nice Gemara, very drasha worthy in the Gemara. So what then the tip points out, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, look at Rashi, Kevan delizikaron ka'afilu ka'asi kilifnim dami. Rashi says, shofar nami. Remember, the criteria for that which reminds Hashem of the Egel Zav was either if the Kohen Gadol was, the chote was doing a karban with it, or he was adorning himself with this. What does a shofar have to do with a kapara? What does a shofar have to do with adorning himself? So Rashi says, shofar nami, avagav de lesbe mishim chote bal yakuv. Really? Even though the shofar seems to have nothing to do with it, it's not the chote himself, it's not the gavra himself. The lesbe mishim chote bal yisna, and the Kohen Gadol is not adorning himself in the shofar. But kevan de lizikaron ka'asi, it's kibigde Kohen Gadol shilif nimdamim. But since it's accomplishing a zikaron, it's reminding Hashem, it's ki'ilu he's adorning himself. It's ki'ilu he's getting a kapara with this. So there's a very subtle point here. If you didn't hear this, see this in the tziv, you wouldn't pick up on this probably. I didn't pick up on it either. When Toso says the sugya, he just says, shofar bal misna'e. He doesn't say bal yakriv. Only Rashi is bal yakriv. So Netziv says, when we answer the Gemara, that shofar is lizikaron, and it's therefore kibigdei kohen, it goes back and says that shofar is like a bal yakriv. It's like a karbon. That's the reverse. That's the havamina to the maskana. The havamina is the shofar is not bal yakriv, it's not a karbon. Maskana is, since it's kilifnim dami, it is like a karbon. And that's the Netziv's Raya that Rashi holds as a karbon. Putting this Rashi and Chavav together with Rashi on our Sugya Chavtes, we understand now why Rashi says Ein Shvus b'mikdash, because to apply it to the shofar, because the shofar is shaykh to the mikdash, it's like a karbon. It's like a bal yakriv. It's like a hakrava. That's the understanding of the Netziv. Let me say a little bit further before you have any questions. Hopefully this is seeping in a little bit. One more raya for this concept, not within Shitas Rashi, but within Shitas Ritva, which actually works well, the Ritva on this sugya. You don't have the Ritva in front of you, the different Ritva I'm going to point out. There's a Ritva in the Gemara and Sukkah Daf Tes Amun Aleph. And the sugya there is discussing the concept of mitzvah babi avera. Right? You cannot perform a mitzvah, you cannot do an avera in order to get to a mitzvah. Mitzvah babi avera is a problem. So the Gemara says, talks about a sukkah gzula, whether you steal sukkah, whether you yotze the sukkah or not. So he asks the Ritva, why do you need a pasuk? The pasuk says you can't use a sukkah gzula because it's based on a pasuk. Why do you need a pasuk? Why doesn't the Gemara just say mitzvah babi avera? Anybody know what the Ritva answers? I know it wasn't on the Marmo Komos, but maybe you know this from elsewhere. So the Ritva says that mitzvah babi avera does not apply to sukkah. It only applies, listen to this language, it only applies to something, the leka lemeimar, mitzvah habah be'avera, ele bedavar habah liratzos kekarbon vilulav. Only when it's coming to perform a ritzoy, like a karbon, you're asking for forgiveness, you're asking to find favor in Hashem's eyes. But shar mitzvahs, like sukkah, you're just doing a mitzvah. Wearing tefillin's a mitzvah. This is a mitzvah. So, because it's a mitzvah, it's not coming to baler ratzos. It's not coming to appease Hashem. A karban is coming to appease Hashem. The lulav is coming to appease Hashem. Now, we can talk about lulav if you want. I don't want to go too off topic, but if you just those who want to marim makom, the sugyas and tainis da beis mebeis talks about lulav being a ritzui. There's much more to talk about how lulav is coming as baler ratzos, coming as a type of karban. One other marim makom. We know in the Lulav HaGazal discusses various psulim. When it comes to the Lulav HaGazal, Lulav HaYavesh, and so on, when the Rambam talks about the various psulim of Dalminim, he calls them Mumim. Mumim is a borrowed term from Karbanos. So somehow equate the halachas of Lulav to that of Karbanos. So there's what to talk about how Lulav is Balaratos. But it's a very mefurish ritva here that Lulav and Karban are only those types of mitzvahs are subject to mitzvah babavera. Those mitzvahs which don't have an element of ritzoi or kapara are not subject to mitzvah babavera. What does that have to do with shofar? Because there's a ritva in Maseches Rosh Hashanah on Daf Chavches. And there, the Gemara is talking about whether a person is allowed to use a shofar made from shlamim. So the Gemara says you can't use a shofar that's from shlamim, a karban of an animal that's a shlamim, because there's an isser me'ila involved. So asks the ritva, who cares? Who cares if there's an isser me'ila? You don't have to own the shofar to get the mitzvah. I have to just hear the sound. I don't need to own the shofar. So answer the ritva, mikol makom, ika mishum mitzvah haba ba'avera k'de'isa b'lulav hagazon. So the ritva invokes mitzvah babavera to the mitzvah of shofar. Putting that all together, what does that mean about shofar? It's also balaratas, coming to appease, coming to achieve kabar, it's a type of karban. So we see based on this Rashi and Chavav and Rosh Hashanah, the ritva combining the ritva and Rosh Hashanah Chavches with Sukkah and Daftes, and then the Tziv, the Merom Yisada, we see that there is an Indian of shofar being a karban. Now that we understand that it's a karban, we could explain to this Rashi. Ein shvus b'mikdash. Ah, the Torah even asks the question, it only applies to that which is a shayach to the karbanos and the covered mikdash. What does that have to do with the shofar? We now know, based on these different sources, that there is an element of ritzoy, hakrava, and the shofar itself is some type of a karban. Any questions before I go ahead? Yeah, David. We could try to work this in a little bit, connect it to that simple shot of the Rambam and the Ravid is whether the mitzvah is in the tekiah or the shmir. You can bring this back to that as well. The more likely you're going to say it's about the tekiah, it's a type of tefillah, the type of ritzui, the more you're going to connect it to a karban, the more it's about the shmir, the listening, it's about awakening us up to do tshuva, the less it's about a karban. But that could be linked up. Almost every machlokas in the shofar could go back to that Rambam Ravid, about tekiah versus shmir. Excellent. Okay, any other question before you go ahead? Okay. Yeah.
How did
the context was in Daf Chavches Rosh Hashanah talking about using the shofar of shlamim. And the Gemara says you're not allowed to use it. So the Rif asks, why can't you use it? Well, you don't have to own a shofar. So it's not mine, it's hektish. So he says, because since you're violating avera, it's me'ila to get to the mitzvah, it's mitzvah babavera. Ah, mitzvah babavera only applies to those mitzvahs which are balaratos, like a shofar and a lulav. Elamai, shofar is also another example of balaratos. Okay, so now let's move to the shita of the Rambam. Rambam, as you saw, I assume in Perish Mishnayos, and the Rambam himself in the Yad Chazaka, he expands the definition of the Mikdash, not only to the base of Mikdash proper, but he writes, it refers to Yushalayim Kula. He echoes that point in Hilchos Shofar as well. He says in Perek Beis, Halacha Ches, and Halacha Tes, it applies to Yerushalayim. Now, I'm not going to discuss it, but just also another Maor Malkum for you guys. One angle, I guess I'll ask you, what would you think the reason why the Rambam expands the Beis Hamikdash to Yerushalayim?
Safer.
So that could be that's a textual proof. You know, the fact that the Seifa says Yerushalayim, that would be a raya that to prove his point. But what would the Svara be? Whenever you try to understand the Shita, there's two things. And Noam's right. There's the textual proofs, and then there's a Svara. You always have to contend with both. Some Amoraim have a certain inclination towards preserving text and, working on a Chiddush and a Svara. Others prefer a Pashtus, a Svara, and they'll tweak the text. So that text is certainly a proof for Yerushalayim. It seems to expand beyond the base of Magdish. But what's a Svara? So one Svara is, which is not the angle I'm going to look at, but one Svara is the Yerushalayim is the base of Magdish. So there's one and the same. Kedusha of the base of Magdish somehow expands itself to Yerushalayim. There's a Rai, if you look at the beginning, the first mission of the second parak of Sanhedrin, talks about the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to leave the base of Mikdash. So the different Rishon Acharon talk about there, does that mean the base of Mikdash itself? Does it mean Yerushalayim? So we have this discussion elsewhere. But let's, I think, focus more on Hilchas Shofar for a second. So the other, yeah.
Couldn't you say in response to that, Svara, that there are certain karbanos that you can only eat within the base of Mikdash, and then certain ones that you could only eat, that you could eat throughout Yerushalayim, so that kind of shows a bit of a distinction between
the
two.
There definitely is a distinction. The Mishnah Kalim talks about their Asara Kedusha, the 10 different levels of Kedusha, Kosh Kedushim, the Azara, Harbais, and so on. But there still is a certain element, like Kachim Kalim, which may be eaten within the city walls, the city limits of Yerushalayim, which indicates there is some level of Beis HaMikdash. So yes, there's a difference, everyone will agree, but the Gabi, this is Halacha, does it make a difference or not? So our angle, we're going to take is something different. It's based on the Sfas Emes, as well as Hari Kedem, I had the wrong one copied here. Hari Kedem talks about this. But let's take a look at the language of the Sfas Emes. If you look towards the back of the section here, I don't have page numbers here, but this is Sfas Emes in the top left column. I think once you have this Chakir, this Sfas Emes, I think everything is going to flow, the machlokas between the Rambam and the Rashi now. So Sfas Emes says, if you take a look now, again, top left column around 10 lines down, the first word is Hayu Yoshrin. He says, V'nistapku b'tama heter b'mikdash. There's a question as to why there's a heter to blow the shofar from the base of Mikdash. Imishim ha-mikdash, imishim ha-sanhedrin. Is it because the makum of Mikdash? Or is it because of Sanhedrin and Bezdin? V'chidish Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, da Bezdin gorim, it's based in the Bezdin, v'nimsa de'eino oket tekana rishona klal, v'chei mashra lashon Rambam. Let me explain. When the Rambam says you're allowed to blow shofar in Ol Yerushalayim, it wasn't because Ein Shvus B'Mikdash. Nothing to do with the base of Mikdash at all. Had to do with the Eima of the Bezdin. You look at the Ramban, it's not in front of you, the Ramban. Someone told me it's not in the Ramban here, but there's a green Ramban, different Rambans, that have some chidushim on this parak. He calls it the Eimas HaBezdin, the fear Bezdin. There's certain things we know we'll do when no one's around, and certain things we won't do when our parents or Rabbanim or Bezdin's around. So when Bezdin is there, when Sanhedrin is present, sitting in the base of Mikdash, their Eima is going to impact the entire city of Yerushalayim. Not a heter of Ein Shvus B'Mikdash, it's the Eimas Bezdin, Eimas Sanhedrin. So when Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai made it to Kana after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, that all of Yerushalayim could continue to blow shofar, that was consistent with the way it was before. It wasn't a new Takana. It was all about Bezdin, Sanhedrin. That's the understanding. And that's how we understand Shitas Rambam. Rashi understands it having to do with the Beis HaMikdash itself, Ein Shvus B'Mikdash. Now, according to the Rashi, which we're going to explain at the end, Shittas Rashi, so then Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai made a new takana. During the times of the Beis HaMikdash, the only heter was in the Beis HaMikdash proper. But after the destruction, the heter expanded to all of Yerushalayim, which is what we're going to address in just a few moments. But the machlokas between the Rambam and Rashi is what was the reason why it was allowed? Because Ein Shvus B'Mikdash or because the Eimas Bezdin?
Talking something, because once the Sanhedrin left, then the Eima wasn't there anymore.
Yeah, so you have to use the Eima of a Bezdin. It was only attached to wherever a Bezdin was. So, exactly. Not Ladavka the Sanhedrin. There is a Machlokas, which I was not going to address, but there's a Machlokas. Which Bezdin the Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai make such a takana? Was it a bezin of 23, which seems the implication of Rashi? Was it a bezin of 3? 23, 3, which one? And it's discussed, but leaving that aside, it was definitely not the Sanhedrin. It was a much lower Sanhedrin, a much lower bezin, I should say, that the Ema bezin was able to continue after it. So that's the machlokas between the Rambam and Rashi. If you take a look at the Rambam, he's very clear about being all about the bezin, the bezin, the bezin. You'll see tomorrow's daf, we're going to do tomorrow. We're not going to learn a sugya on tomorrow's daf, I'll have you do it. We're going to actually do something in the next Mishnah, but I'll explain. But that all talks about the combination between bezin and Beis HaMikdash. Bezin and Beis HaMikdash, which one is it? And you're going to see, now having this hakir in mind, you're going to see the focus of the different Rishonim. Is it the Ema of bezin, or is it the presence of the Beis HaMikdash? So we have Rashi, Ein Shvus B'Mikdash, but Rambam is at Emas Bezdin. We're good so far? Fine. So now we're going to finish off with understanding Shitas Rashi. So the Lech HaMishnah already points out that Rashi seems to contradict himself. Rashi defines the word Beis HaMikdash, you know, literally, which is excellent, but the end of the Mishnah, which says, V'od Zos Ha'isab Yishalayim Yaseir Al Yavna, which, of course, indicates that they blew the shofar in the entire Yerushalayim. So how is Rashi going to explain this Sefer of the Mishnah? So what's Tosus' suggestion? You guys saw Tosus, I assume? Right in the beginning, what does he say? He doesn't ask the question head on. I guess he does, but what is he... After the Churban. There was one time, Bizman HaMikdash, where it was only allowed in the Beis HaMikdash proper. And after the Churban, it was allowed all of Yerushalayim. So how are you going to explain this, according to Tosos? It was only allowed in Yerushalayim in the Beis HaMikdash because Ein Shvus B'Mikdash. So what's the Hesber after the Churban? There's a new Takana, like the Sfas Emes says, a different Takana. The Zman HaMikdash, the Takana was based on, the Heter is based on Ein Shvus B'Mikdash. La'achor Churban, the Heter is based on Sanhedrin, exactly. Emas Bezdin, a new takana, but based on the other svar. So the two dinim. Zman HaMikdash, Ein Shvus B'Mikdash, Lacha Churban, Emas Bezdin. So that's according to Tosos. Now, can Rashi make this suggestion? Does this work well within Shitas Rashi, guys? It does, yeah?
Yeah.
Sfas Emes was saying something like this? But is any Rashi on the Mishnah which seems to indicate that this is otherwise? Exactly, excellent. No, right, it says with that line where he comments, "Ve'od zos ha'yisav Yishalayim, be'oda b'vinyana," that there's a heter to blow in all of Yishalayim when the Beis HaMikdash was still b'vinyana. So Tosa says there's only lachar churban after it was destroyed, but Rashi seemed to say even when it was still up, there's such a heter. That's even a greater steer for Shitas Rashi now. Tosa, I could have accepted. Fine. One was before the Beis HaMikdash, one was after it was destroyed. But now, to say that you're allowed to blow the shofar, even Yerushalayim is still up, even the Beis HaMikdash is still around, to move it from the Beis HaMikdash to Yerushalayim, that's a clear steer. So, the Ramban, which some of you saw in the footnotes, has a suggestion, which I'm not going to go into great detail with, but he makes a suggestion about what it meant was people in Yerushalayim were not allowed to actually blow the shofar. They'd have to go to the Beis HaMikdash. They could walk to the Kotel, to the Kosel, to the Beis HaMikdash, and to hear the shofar. And those who were outside Yerushalayim, those who could see Yerushalayim, were able to blow the shofar at home or in the shuls. And the footnote points out in the Mitzvah that seems very inaccurate, because it sounds like, according to the Ramban, Yerushalayim itself, they actually couldn't blow the shofar in Yerushalayim. They had to walk to the Beis HaMikdash. But the Mishnah sounds like, no, in Yerushalayim proper, plus those who could see it, were able to blow a shofar. So he doesn't like this pshat of the Ramban, not me, that's him. But I want to focus the rest of the time together today on the Shita of the Ritva. So, what's the suggestion of the Ritva? How does the Ritva defend Rashi, explain Rashi? You guys saw this, right? What happens? Anyone else?
Totally dependent on where the Sanhedrin was. So when the Sanhedrin went from being next to the Beis HaMikdash to all of Yerushalayim to just in Yerushalayim, so that's when it, even before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, I guess, So that's when it was allowed in all of Yerushalayim.
Excellent. So let's read that language. He says, V'yesh lomar, dili olam kodem churban. Really, this was before the churban, when the het of Yerushalayim applied. Kishe galus Sanhedrin milishchas agazis. This is actually a sugya at the end of the Masechta of Rosh Hashanah. When Sanhedrin was exiled, milishchas agazis v'yashva b'Yerushalayim, kodem shehalcho liyavna. They stopped off in some other area of Yerushalayim. They relocated before they eventually made their way over to Yavna. So then Chazra Yerushalayim kimigdash. Yerushalayim somehow transformed into the Mikdash, which is a very interesting language, which I'll try to address. Litkaba ubiyarasa, yaroseha. They was allowed to blow the shofar in all Yerushalayim and all the surrounding cities. V'alzeshaninu, that's what it means, v'odzos ha'isa. Aval kishem mikdash kayim ubezdin b'lishchas ha'gazes, when they sat in the lishchas ha'gazes next to the base of Mikdash. L'hayu token v'yushalayim, they did not blow in Yerushalayim, they only blew in the base of Mikdash. So as Avi said, it all depends on where Sanhedrin was. Sounds like, of the two svaras we've been suggesting, what's the svara? Emes Bezdin. So does this work for Rashi, guys? It's against Rashi. So what do we do with Rashi? So I think we could explain as follows. What is the reason why ain't Shavus Mikdash, guys? Why do we say there's no Shavus in the base of Mikdash? Kavod base of Mikdash. Just to show honor at the base of Mikdash? That's the reason why?
Didn't someone say that?
You saw the three Evan talk about when it's covered, that's considered tzorach. I mean, ain't Shavus of Mikdash, we only allow a Shavus if it's for the purpose of base of Mikdash, the carbon, the car base of Mikdash. But why are we not concerned they're going to make a mistake? Lemaisa, why not? Outside the base of Mikdash, they'll make a mistake. Inside the base of Mikdash, they won't make a mistake. Why not? What's this far away? They'll make a mistake.
I think there was someone who suggested, like, not going to make a mistake when the base is right there.
So you know who says that?
Did the Ritva
say that, yeah? I didn't see anybody who said it. If you find someone, let me know. But I'll tell you what the other svaras are. There are really three svaras that are found. I think there's a third one. There must be somewhere. I just don't know where it is. Let me know if you find it, Noam. The three svaras of the ancients of Mikdash are as follows. Any other suggestions before I make them? Outside what Noam suggested, which is Sanhedrin is present.
The people that are put in charge of the base of Mikdash are generally more learned and not expected to make mistakes.
Who's in charge?
Kohanim. Yeah,
exactly. David's our Kohen here. So he's very Zaris. So we have this reason. So the Kohanim is reason. The Kesef Mishnah, the end of Hilchas Beis Bechira, the very last Kesef Mishnah, in Hilchas Beis Bechira, says, Ein Shvus B'Mikdash because Kohanim Zrizim Heim, which is a Gemara that appears in Maseches Pesachim, that they're Zaris, they're going to make sure no one's going to make a mistake. They're very particular, they're very accurate, they're very efficient. No one's going to make a mistake. Kohanim Zrizim Heim. So that's one Svar. What's another Svar?
Can you say Amos Hashem, like similar to
Ein what?
Amos Hashem.
So it could be Amos Hamakom.
Yeah.
Amos Hamakom. So excellent. That sounds like what the Meiri actually on our daf says. The Meiri here in Daf Chavtes Amud Beis in Rosh Hashanah says I don't have it in front of me, but a very interesting language. He says, "B'makom Mikdash ain shechacha." There's no forgetting, which means there's no forgetting Hashem. You're not going to forget you're going to do something. You know exactly where you are. You know in front of whom you're standing. You're not going to make a mistake. Not because a Kohen's watching over me, because he's going to be Mazari's me. Because I feel the presence of the Shechina here. So we have one Svar of the Kesef Mishnah, Kohanim Zerizim Heim. The second Svar of the Meiri here in Rosh Hashanah, because the Makom HaMikdash, the Emas of the Malchus of Hashem, the Ein Shicha, the Beis HaMikdash. And the third Svar, which is what Noam suggested, which we'll, I guess we'll attribute to Noam for now until he finds a Rishon. I agree with Noam. That's what I wanted to say as well.
I was thinking what David said.
Yeah, what did David say about?
About the Kohanim.
Yes, oh, that's what you thought. Okay. Yeah. So if you find someone who says Sanhedrin, I'd love to see this, but I think that's what the Ritva says. Ritva, I believe, says because Sanhedrin, Ein Shavus B'Mikdash is really based on Emes Bezdin. They're not two different Svaras. The Emes Bezdin is the reason why Ein Shavus B'Mikdash. When Sanhedrin is there, they're watching over you. You know right next door, you do something wrong, they're watching you. There's the aim of the Sanhedrin. But when they moved out of the base of Mikdash, they relocated to Yerushalayim. So now Ein Shavus B'Mikdash applies in Yerushalayim. Because it's not really in the Mikdash. Even though the phrase is B'Mikdash, according to what I'm at least I'm suggesting, for the Ritva, and maybe even for Rashi, you could say Ein Shus HaMikdash means anywhere the Sanhedrin is present. Now, again, you can't say anywhere, because that means in Yavna also. It has to be connected to the Beis HaMikdash. So it has to be some tzarech, at one point, one tzarech, a kavod, something connected to the Beis HaMikdash, but the svar is the Amos Bezdin, Amos Sanhedrin, who's overseeing the halacha to the Beis HaMikdash, whether it's a karbon, or whether it's a shofar, like we proved before, then that aim of Sanhedrin will oversee wherever they're located. When they're located in the Beis HaMikdash, so it's limited their spaces to the location of the Beis HaMikdash. When they relocate to Yushalayim, Chazra Yushalayim Kemikdash, says the Ritva. The aim of Sanhedrin impacts everywhere, yes?
If when the Sanhedrin moved, so then the aim was in the entire Yushalayim,
right.
When they were in the Beis HaMikdash, why wasn't it in the entire Yushalayim?
Yeah, excellent question. I think the point is you have to draw a line somewhere. So wherever the borders are drawn, the Beis HaMikdash is a very different location than Yerushalayim. You know, when you walk outside to inside, the temperature is going to change significantly. So if it's hot outside, it's a little hot inside now also, but hopefully it'll be a little cooler inside. So the Beis HaMikdash, there's borders there. So the Kiddush of the Beis HaMikdash, when you leave that area, you don't feel that Kiddush of the Beis HaMikdash or of the Sanhedrin. There's markings, there's borders. But when they're sitting in Yerushalayim, so then their Kiddush is in all the streets of the city of Yerushalayim, that will apparently, I'm suggesting, will impact everywhere. You have to draw the line somewhere. So that's the understanding. So maybe with this, we can understand now the Shita of the Ritva and the Rashi. That Rashi says in the beginning of the Mishnah, Ein Shus HaMikdash meant Dafko the Mikdash. That's when Sanhedrin was in the Lishchas HaGazis, and the Ema was able to oversee all of the Beis HaMikdash. The later half, as the Ritva said, when it says, Odos HaYisar Yushalayim, that's when the Sanhedrin moved to preside in Yushalayim, whereby the Amos Bezdin was able to impact the entire Yushalayim, therefore allowing the Hether of blowing the shofar in the entire city of Yushalayim. So let me quickly recap, unless you have questions. What we did, we started by talking about the Shita of Rashi, Ein Shus B'Mikdash, the Beis HaMikdash, what's the Shaychus of the shofar, the Beis HaMikdash. The Tori Evan points out, Ein Shus B'Mikdash is only relevant when it's something that hinges on its tzarech or cover of the Beis HaMikdash. So we proved based on the Netziv and Rashi and Chavav that since the shofar is kevin de lizikaron dami, it's klifnim dami, it's as if it came inside, it's like a type of hakrava, it's bal yakriv, that's the language of Rashi, and the Ritva, mitzvah babi avera, from the sukkah and daftes, and Rosh Hashanah Chavches connected that mitzvah babi avera only applies to those mitzvahs which are bar balaratos, such as a lulav and karbon, he expands it to also a shofar, must be also a type of ritzoy that's considered a ritzoy karbon, which is a type of a tzorach mikdash. So Ein Shus B'Mikdash does apply to shofar as well. The Rambam, on the other hand, said nothing to do with the Shus B'Mikdash, rather had to do with the Ema of Bezdin. Therefore, the entire city of Yerushalayim was subject to the Ema of Bezdin. You're able to blow anywhere in Yerushalayim because you felt that. But then we had the big question as Rashi, how could he change from Dafka, the Beis HaMikdash, to Yerushalayim at the end of the Mishnah? So he first suggested Tosos' answer, who said, Acha Churban. We said that doesn't work with Rashi, because Rashi is Oda Bivinyana. Even when the Beis HaMikdash was Kayim, there's still Heter. So it must be the Shita, the answer, the Ritva, that says when the Sanhedrin was exiled to Yerushalayim, Oda Bivinyana, when the Beis HaMikdash was still Kayim. So we explained, how does that work exactly? Ein Shus HaMikdash, how does that apply to all of Yerushalayim? So we gave three basic reasons why Ein Shus HaMikdash does not apply. Either because of the Meiri, the aim of the fear of the Makum and Mikdash, Ein Shecha, or the Kesem Mishnah, because of Kadam's reason, or our suggestion, Noam and I will share this suggestion, maybe because of the Sanhedrin itself, the Ema of Sanhedrin, when they're in the base of Mikdash, the Ema exists in the base of Mikdash, but when they're in Yerushalayim, the Ema exists in all of Yerushalayim, and it's really the Ema Sanhedrin which really drives the din of Ein Shus B'Mikdash. So quickly, before your question, tomorrow we're going to go ahead and do Daf Lamed. It's a bit of an involved Gemara. It's back and forth. We're not going to say any sugyas there. There's nothing really to talk about there. We're going to go on to that next Mishnah, the Rashi and the Mishnah. We're going to spend a couple days on that Rashi on the Mishnah. Okay, the question, yeah.
I was just going to say,